Hi, welcome to Breaking Bread, the show where we explore food through culture, conversations, and a whole lot of curiosity. I'm your host, Lo Yijun, a food writer and recipe developer from the Gin and Tonic blog. Every week on this show, we explore a particular dish, ingredients, or culinary story, and I bring in some food friends and experts to feed our bellies and minds. Today, we are talking about the Fei Ku Award, which is an award celebrating food and drink writing in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. Now, if the name Fei Ku sounds familiar to some of you listeners, that's because Fei was a legend in the Malaysian food sphere. She was a voracious writer, reader, and eater, and she was also the presenter of the previous food show on BFM, Feeding Time with Fei. But sadly, she passed away in 2017, and this award has been a way to remember and celebrate Fei's love for food and words. And today, I have the organizer of the awards, Bettina Chua Abdullah, with me in the studio, and we'll be talking about the awards, how it all began, and we'll also touch a bit on the state of food writing in Malaysia. Welcome onto the show, Bettina.
Yijun, thank you very much for having me.
Now, I'm just going to start with a disclaimer. This is probably like the second time doing the show that I felt a little nervous interviewing someone, because I feel like you have a lot of experience in anchoring or talking and writing as well, and just in the literary world in general. Can you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your past?
Well, actually, in the literary world, I'm an absolute infant and novice and baby or whatever moniker you want to apply to it. I've actually only just written my first book. And that's really the text for a book called Over Penang, which was a series of dronescapes by the photographer David Lowe. And so we collaborated on that together. I wrote the text. He took all the photographs. The book's just been released. The reference, of course, to presenting is you remembering that a very long time ago, I used to be chief anchor for CNBC Asia for the program Squawk Box, and we talked quite a lot about economics, financial markets, what was happening in different companies all around the world. But times do change. Mm-hmm. And
now you've shifted over to, I guess, the food and writing world. You've organized and kind of created this Fei Ku Award in remembrance of your friend, Fei.
Yes, I did. And to be very honest, the plain, very hard truth is that there will always be something quite bittersweet about this award. I lost a very dear friend. Mm. And I wanted to honor her work. And I didn't want anyone to forget what she had accomplished as a writer. But I think more than that, as the award progressed, we're now into our third year. One never really knows at the time of creating exactly what you're doing. And I think cooks who are quite experimental, and you are one, can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's let's take all these few ingredients and let's take our skill in combining them and treating them and cooking them a certain way and let's see what we get. What I do know is that after 2 years, now into our third year, I believe that the award celebrates a life that was lived without apology, that Fei wholeheartedly pursued everything that she loved, whether it was reading, whether it was writing, whether it was sailing, or anything she wanted to learn, like the saxophone, and of course, eating. So I would like to think that what the Fei Ku Award does is celebrates and encourages writers to explore those food narratives, but to do so with full intent, with full passion, and with joy.
So the awards has been running for 3 years now, right?
And this will be the third year. This is our third year.
And it's kind of evolved over the past two iterations of the awards. Can you talk a bit about how it's kind of expanded in terms of the categories and why you decided to do so?
Well, as I said earlier, I think motivations change as you go along. Mm-hmm. And after the first year, I did what you call a wash-up, which I guess is also related to the kitchen, and looked back at what we had done. how we had impacted people, some of the feedback that we got, and mostly the entries that we got. They said an awful lot about what people were thinking, what was important to them, but also equally what they were not writing about. So in the first year, one of the things that thoroughly surprised me was a comment from one writer about how nice we were. And I said, I didn't quite understand what that means. And you have to understand, I have no, I myself don't write and pitch my writing to awards. I had never run an award. And so a lot of what we did was on instinct and, you know, occasionally sort of looking up at the heaven and saying, you better show me the way, Faye, because I'm not sure what we're doing here. Mm. And I'd ask a few friends. But when the one person said to me, this is a really nice award to have submitted to. And I said, what do you mean? He says, oh, some of them are really not very nice. We're given all these guidelines and mostly we're told you can't do this and you can't do that. And if you do it like this, we'll put your submission in the bin. And to me, that was actually really quite awful. Mm. And I think that if you want to encourage writers to submit, to present what is a very personal part of them. And I think all writers can relate to the challenges of writing and getting your words down on paper, that they should know they're just not pitching their work into some abyss, that their work is being given consideration, that their submissions are encouraged, that they are appreciated. So one of the things I do, for instance, is I personally write to everyone who emails questions of the award. That is also a function of the Faye Kubo Award being very much a one-person enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I should probably give a disclaimer. So last year, I submitted an entry to the award itself, and that's how I know Bettina. And
you got on the shortlist.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But yeah, so that's how I knew her. And I think it's very true that it was a very nice and personal award, and you could really feel the heart in it behind the person that was running it, which was just you alone, which still impresses me to this day. And yeah, I think that nice comment is you should take it as a compliment.
I think it pointed the way for the kind of award that we could be.
Mm.
And I'm very gratified by all of the writers who recognize the small things that I tried to do to remember that a very special person inspired this award. Last year's winner in one of the categories, Deepika Mukherjee, posted a photograph of her trophy, which, as you know, is the Tiffin carrier.
Mm.
And in that photograph were all the books that she bought with her Garat Budaya book voucher, which was part of her prize, and her chopsticks and her reusable straws and all her dining vouchers. And she posted this lovely comment, which was, best competition ever. And I can't tell you what a boost that is and what an incentive that is to keep the award going, because there are moments, and there were moments, and I think there's still going to be moments where I'm never very sure that we're going to have an award. To safeguard the integrity of an award, we do need a certain number of entries to come in, without which I think we wouldn't have an award.
You've been doing an amazing job, I must say. But one thing I've realized this year as well, there's been the addition of a third category to the award itself. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Certainly. One of the things that we changed from year one to year two was the addition of the reportage category. Most of the entries we got in year one were personal narratives along the lines of, I remember that I used to go with my family and we ate these kinds of food and this was the chef. And I remember, so there were a lot of the, I remember my relationship with my mother. There were, for instance, people who shared very funny stories about being an 11-year-old girl exploring the neighborhood and finding the uncle who would make toddy and taught her how to make toddy and actually let her drink it at age 11. So there were lovely, wonderful, charming stories. But as you know, food writing is a genre that has a huge diversity. So much can be considered food writing. And I know we want to talk a little bit more about that. And I wanted to be able to reward the people who had chosen to do some investigation into particular topics around food and to present it that way. not as a personal narrative. Thus, the category of reportage came in the second year. Now, your question about the third year in creative nonfiction primarily came about because I met a writer who had published a wonderful book. And in fact, I have asked her to be the third judge this year for the Feiku Award. She wrote a book called Others Is Not a Race, and her name is Melissa De Silva. Melissa De Silva won last year's Singapore Literature Award for Creative Nonfiction with this book. And in it, a wonderful series of essays and stories in which her Eurasian identity is very much linked to Eurasian food and food production. There is, for instance, a really interesting section in which she goes out on a boat with distant family members who are krill fishermen who will then bring back their catch, which will be made into belacan.
Right.
So that was part of the book. So I thought creative nonfiction would be quite an interesting category. And then, of course, within a day of putting out the call for entries to say we're also going to accept creative nonfiction, I got a question saying, does that include comics?
Oh.
And I thought, well, this is really interesting because I've been preempted. Yeah. It had always been my intention to have comics and graphic stories as a category. And I had been preempted by somebody saying, so do you accept it? And of course, yes, you must, because that is creative nonfiction. So it's breaking news on BFM. All of you out there who are illustrators, who love food, who want to enter the Feiku Award in this medium of comics, yeah, you're absolutely more than welcome to. And I'm going to be sending out soon a refreshed call for entries with those submission guidelines.
We're going to just take a quick break. I've been speaking to Bettina Chua Abdullah, the organizer behind the Feiku Award. When we return, we'll learn more about the award and touch on the food writing scene in Malaysia. Stay tuned. You're listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, the show where we fuss over food writing. I'm Jun, and I've been speaking to Bettina Chua Abdullah, the lead organizer of the Feiku Award, an award celebrating food writing in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. We've just been talking about the beginnings of the award and how it has evolved over the past 2 years, but now we'll be delving into dicier territory, I would say. So,
I like all our puns, all our little double meaning words, dice, bittersweet.
Yeah. I'm not the best with puns, but when I do come up with one, I'm like, oh, that was quite good. But let's talk about food writing for a moment here. So I know you say you're not an experienced writer, but what is your view on the food writing scene in Malaysia so far?
Okay, when I said that I'm not really a full-time writer, I was referring specifically to sort of the more literary pursuits, right, the literary aspects of writing. Certainly as a news anchor, I wrote all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's a very different type of writing where you're writing for the screen and writing for the ear.
Yeah.
Food writing, on the other hand, is not also something that I can't claim to be any particular expert on. But I think part of the reason that when Faye passed, I felt an immeasurable sense of sadness and, oh, what now, was because she was a very good and very dedicated food writer, and she was very dedicated to her craft. So I had this sense and this almost sorrow and fear that I wasn't going to be able to read any more really good food writing on Malaysian food or restaurants or personalities in the food and beverage business or industry. Mm-hmm. So when you ask me about the state of food writing, I can't say that I know we ever had one in the contemporary sense of what food writing has become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you look at food writing as a whole, we often compare ourselves to, let's say, food writers in the US and the UK. And a large part of that is because they are primary language of communication is English, right? But do you feel that in Malaysia, maybe Malay and Mandarin might be a better medium for food writing as well? And it's something that hasn't been considered very much when we talk about food writing. Do you think that is a worthwhile pursuit when we are talking about the Malaysian writing, food writing circle?
I think there's a lot of attention given to food. I do think that currently a lot of it is coming out in the forms of blogs and video logs and that kind of thing. There are any number of people out there who have blogs, who talk about food and their relationship with food or what they're doing, who travel around the country eating in different places and reporting on that food. And that's wonderful. I think that's fine. What I hope the award will do is encourage a little bit more of a scholarship, you know, a scholarly, perhaps, understanding of food without becoming pretentious.
Yeah.
And I think there's no need for me to be apologetic about wanting to see that level of writing, because that's the level of writing that my friend set for herself.
Yeah. I think as a food writer myself too, when I look at Faye's writing, when I read it, I'm always so impressed and in awe of her writing. And whenever I read my own writing, it never really compares to hers. Maybe this is a selfish question, but do you have any tips for better writing out there? How do you write about food better?
Well, that's a really good question. And it leads into a similar question of what can we do to improve the food writing scene. Read it. That's the first thing that I think you should do, is read good food writing and understand that it's not about writing recipes, that it is about exploring a whole universe of food. It is about understanding that there are so many different ideas in which food plays a central role in society, in economic terms, in a cultural world. Food is integral to all of these. So you can be looking at the subgenres of food writing, which have to do with cultures and communities. You can also be looking at technology and the way things are being produced. There's a huge amount of space right now being devoted to meatless burgers and dairyless ice creams. This is food writing.
Yeah.
It's not just science and technology, and it's not science fiction, but this is actually food writing. You can be looking at eating trends. You can be looking at any number of industry right now that's in the food orbit, anything from manufacturing and production to delivery of food. So to start with, read more.
So do you think then that I guess lack of readership so far in Malaysia is also a contributing reason to why the standard of food writing in Malaysia hasn't been as high?
I don't want to say that it isn't high, because Malaysians specifically are incredibly sophisticated and knowledgeable about food. But to encourage greater food writing, you also have to encourage just greater appreciation of reading and the wanting to be able to encapsulate your knowledge of food in a written form. So I'm sure there are many, many hundreds of ways that we could encourage more people to be interested in food writing. The FAKU Award has its own formula for it, and its own avenue and its own little reward system for it. And I can certainly see that between year one and year two, that there's been a difference. I'm not sure that we're the reason why, but perhaps by adding on this category of reportage, we had people thinking a little bit more about what they wanted to write. You know this with storytelling. You can tell the same story 100 different ways. The same story could be written as a personal narrative as well as a report on the same sort of food topic. You improve food writing by beginning to understand and appreciate our fundamental relationship to it.
I think we've segued in food writing long enough, but let's just bring the conversation back to the FAKU Awards. So I've heard that there will be an anthology released sometime towards the end of this year that is linked to the awards itself. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So at the end of the third year, which is this year, we will have enough material to select from the long list those entries which we feel merit being included in an anthology. And what the anthology does for the FEKU Award is it becomes a permanent reminder that there is an award, that there is a food writing award, that there is an enterprise, an endeavor that is dedicated towards recognizing these talented new voices, perhaps, in food writing. So we will be compiling these into a published form and planning to work extremely hard from the time that entries close to go through judging to be able to make the printer's deadline and be able to release the book at the Georgetown Literary Festival in November this year.
Mm, cool. And
so I guess you'll be in it.
I've got the news. I've got the email from you.
Yes, you'll be in it with your green, white and brown entry, which was delightful to read. And I think what is exciting for people who do enjoy this is that with the exception of the winners, you were shortlisted. Not many people have been able to read these entries because we've never published them. So I think it'll be an exciting thing for people to be able to read the quality and the types of essays that are coming out on food writing. And of course, not all of it is about Malaysians.
Mm. Do you have a working title for the book already?
It's the first FEKU anthology. No, I don't. Well, not really. Mm-hmm. I think once we get all of the entries in and look at them collectively, that's usually when things like titles present themselves.
Cool. So that will be coming out in November at the Georgetown Literary Fest. And as for the submissions for the award itself, what are you looking for in particular?
I do have a wish list of things that I'd like to see. In 2 years, we haven't had an in-depth interview with a chef as one of our pieces. I'd definitely like to see writers attempt to move beyond personal narrative to exploration of some much bigger ideas. For instance, the craziness of food delivery apps to me is a candidate for a food writing story, partly because they are becoming a huge economic contributor with a multiplier effect for F&B operators. Mm. So that's of great interest. I'd like us to start exploring food safety issues, partly because I've been doing some research into it and I know some people actively connected with it, is the issue of cage-free eggs and what that price differential actually means to the average person. And conversely, if we don't move towards cage-free eggs, how are we going to be ready for a time that a chain supermarket, for instance, says, I'm sorry, but I can only buy cage-free eggs because we've signed up to some international convention against animal cruelty somewhere. So I think these are things, these are the sorts of stories, these are the sort of big ideas I would like somebody to at least have a, you know, stab at.
Yeah, and speaking of the cage-free thing, I think there are a lot of nuances to the terms that we use for food nowadays, like organic or biodiversity, like, these words get thrown around a lot, but not many people know what actually goes on under the hood and what the farms can do or should do to comply with these definitions. And it's certainly a very interesting market out there to be studied, I guess.
It goes back to what I was saying earlier, that food writing is probably one of the most diverse writing that anybody who wants to be a writer could get into, because you may not be, say, particularly interested in what goes on in fancy restaurants, or you may not even be interested in chefs, but you could be very interested in produce. You could be very interested in the issues surrounding food safety or the carbon footprint that food production and food manufacturing leaves behind. All that, for me, is food writing.
Yeah, as Malaysians especially, we don't really consider those things as part of food writing. And when the term food writing comes to mind, people always go into reviews rather than looking at the food world as a whole and how it connects to many different parts.
Mm. I think one of the most interesting food incidences was, you know, hashtag crispy rendang. I think hashtag crispy rendang said so much about our relationship with food, how passionate we are about it, how we have ownership of it, how we took absolute umbrage at somebody claiming to be an expert about our food, criticizing the rendang for not being crispy. And I was absolutely delighted to see that a book has now come out. Has been released by the, you know, hapless cook of the uncrispy rendang, which is, of course, very appropriately titled, My Rendang Is Not Crispy,
which is really
cheeky and funny. People do care tremendously. What I hope the award allows is for people to make the deeper exploration into what is behind the passion and the feelings that are generated when incidences regarding food happen. The other one, which I think has been very enjoyable and very interesting to watch, is, you know, hashtag Singapore hawker centers are going to be listed by, you know, as UNESCO as an intangible heritage. I mean, the gloves came off on the Malaysian side, you know, and then you get other headlines like, Chendol is a top Singapore dessert. Oh my gosh, we all go crazy. We're actually so trigger happy when it comes to our food and the sense that somebody is trying to steal our thunder. Mm-hmm. What I hope the Feku Award does is that all of that excitement and all of that celebration and passion can go beyond the eating of it. Maybe the award can change that.
Cool. So when it comes to submitting your entries for the awards, where can people submit and what's a deadline for that?
So we're trying a little different thing this year, and that is in order to receive the submission guidelines, you write me an email and at thefeikuaward@hikayat.asia, and I put on my friendly award director hat and send you back all of the information that you need with a little encouraging note to say that we're looking forward to your entry and happy writing.
Mm. And the deadline for submission is?
Deadline for submission is the 15th of September.
Cool. Yes. And you also have a Facebook group of the Feku Award, right?
Yes, it's the Feku Award.
At the Feku Award.
It's at the Feku Award.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much, Bettina. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's all for this week's show. For more episodes, head to www.bfm.my, or you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and on the BFM app. And if you're hungry for more funky foods and recipes, head to my blog at junandtonic.com. That's JUNANDTONIC.com. I'm Jun, and you've been listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9.